Well, praise the Lord. I tell you, Scripture says they worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. I believe we've had enough music to kind of get you in the spirit, and I'm going to bring the truth just in a few minutes. So we've got nothing to hinder us from worshiping and praising an almighty God. Good to see everybody come this way this morning. Still got some people sick under the weather we need to pray for, and continue to pray for them. I want to share with you some of God's Word this morning. I want to look and start out this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you'll turn there with me, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. As we turn in this, I want you to know Solomon did a lot of great feats, had a lot of accomplishments in life. But one of the greatest I think he did was when he completed the temple. You know, God saw fit to give him the power and the opportunity, and he took this opportunity and built and completed the temple. And so we're going to talk just a little bit about the temple this morning that Solomon built, and we're going to talk a little bit about the temple God built. You. He said, we are His temple. You know, and so we'll get into some of that in a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, I'd like to have been in that meeting that day, you know, that they couldn't do anything except when they saw the great power and authority of God that He put in this temple, all they could do is just bow their faces to the ground and begin to praise and worship Him. You know, that's what we seek and search for today, that the power of God gets so real in our church that it brings everybody to a place of worship, brings everybody to a place of praise. Now, a lot of people say, well, that wasn't for me. I don't know what you need, but God's Word's good for everybody. So when we come into a place and the Spirit of God comes in with us, we ought to bow ourselves to the ground and be praising and worshiping Almighty God who's done so many things for us. Good thought, isn't it? Did you come to worship this morning? I hope you did. If you didn't, you might be disappointed. You might get tricked or brought into that point. In 2 Chronicles still chapter 7 and verse 14, I want to go through 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 verses here. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, it said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, when we start looking at this first part of it, it said, if my people, you know, God's got a description for His people. That's true believers on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and the sins of the whole world. That's how you get to be my people. Now there's a lot of people, you know, and that's something we need to consider today. Just whose people are you? You know, I'm proud to say because of my belief and my trust and my faith, I'm a child of God this morning. I hope everybody in the house could stand up and say, I'm a child of God this morning. And if you can't, you'll have an opportunity to get that way. It comes from belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If my people, who are you? You know, everybody needs to have this figured out and decided who you are. If my people, which are called by my name, then it talks about shall humble themselves. You know, I don't see a lot of humility this day and time, but if we really consider the things God had done for us, you'd be humble. You wouldn't have a problem with humility if you really confessed and told and said, this is what God's done for me in this lifetime. You know, I think about the humbleness. I think in New Testament, St. Luke chapter 22, and I believe it's verse 31, 32, I began to think about Peter, you know, Simon Peter. A lot of people say, well, he wasn't too humble, you know, at times. He didn't seem that way. But Jesus said something to him one day that would have to humble anybody. In St. Luke 22 and 31, it said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, now this is Jesus talking to him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now you understand what Jesus is telling to him? He said, Satan's desired to have you. I want everybody here to know that Satan might desire to have all of us today except the Lord Jesus prayed. In the verse 32, it said, but I prayed for thee. This is Jesus. But I prayed for thee that thy faith shall not fail. Amen. He said that thy faith shall not fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And I thought about humility. Now, that'd humble anybody if you knew that Satan desired to have you. You think the devil's tickled with this meeting? No way. But I hope that we just put our foot on his neck and get by that and worship and praise God. Now, when Jesus was talking to Peter, that had to humble Peter to know if without the prayer of Jesus, he said that thy faith fail thee not. Peter had faith. Peter had to trust. Peter had the knowledge that Jesus was going to be the Savior, that he was the Son of God. But I want you to notice, he said that he may sift you as wheat. He knew what he desired for. And then it goes down to the second part of verse 32, and it said, when thou art converted. Now, have y'all ever thought about that? Here's Peter, a true believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, when thou art converted. He wasn't yet converted because Jesus hadn't died on the cross of Calvary. We're saved by grace. Peter was saved by the same grace we are. That grace didn't start till Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and said, it is finished. And that day, there were millions of people probably brought into the grace of God that very day, that very hour. That's when Peter was saved. Jesus told him, said, when thou art converted. He knew it was a promise. He knew it was going to come. He said, strengthen thy brother. Now, we're looking back before the crucifixion when Jesus was saying these things. And so, let's look farther, a little bit ahead. Now, we're under grace. Praise God. Lord, get most of us or get us all. But we're under the grace of God. We've got that promise of grace, just as Peter was going to receive when Jesus said it finished. Peter was converted. Now think about it. Peter was converted. So we go a little bit farther about this humility. I want you to think about this. Now, we're under grace. And Peter was prayed for by Jesus. And he prayed that his faith failed him not. And that's what happened. To keep him from the wiles of the devil. Now, we've got a strength and a power within us today also. You say, well, I don't know, is Jesus praying for you? Jesus don't have to pray for you today. We've got this thing called the Holy Ghost. Hey, praise God, it's living inside of us. You know, it's there and it's put in when we're true believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We receive that gift. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You get them all together. Three in one, the Trinity. And so in 1 John, let's look at 1 John chapter 4 just for a few minutes. Turn your Bibles. Y'all need to practice. Turn your Bibles. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, we're talking about the age we're in. We're in the age of grace. Peter at that time, before the crucifixion, was still bound under the law that God had gave to Moses. So we're a little bit different, but we've got a helper in the fact that really it's inside us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You know, when I think about this trying the spirits, he said every spirit's not of God. You know, you can get in the spirit down at the ball game. I've saw it happen a lot of times. It's happened to me. You know, your team gets to winning or losing real bad, and you get up and you get in a certain spirit, but it's not a spirit of God. A lot of times, mine be a spirit of anger if my team's not winning, and a spirit of joy if they are. Well, God forgive me. I guess I'm the only one in the house that would admit that there's sometimes it's not the spirit of God controlling me. God forgive me. You know, I guess I'm elite in that, right? I'm a little special in that. But there's been a lot of times I've gotten the wrong spirit. It's not of God. When you get angry enough to think hard feelings, Melvin, it's not the spirit of God. Y'all got that? And it said, try the spirits, whether they be of God. But we're talking about the hope we have to resist the wiles of the devil. In the verse 2, it said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come of the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world. In verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got something inside of you greater than that power outside. You've got that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost of God living within you that you received when you became a child of God. This is a gift that can never be taken or be done away with. And so we have this power. Jesus prayed for Peter and he got through it. He placed us within us, a Holy Spirit, and you're going to get through it. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. You think the devil wouldn't destroy me this morning? But he can't, because I've got a greater power within than he possesses. This is to us under grace. In verse 5 it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Y'all got that one? They talk about the world and the world hears them. You want to talk politics? A lot of people will listen to you. You want to talk true religion, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for the sin of the world. Anybody will talk politics. They don't want to talk that talk. They don't want to hear that. You want to get talk politics? Most people will listen. You want to talk religion? Nobody really wants to hear it. And so here it is in verse 6. It said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's a right way and a wrong way. That's what the Word of God's telling us, you know. And we can know the difference. And we can tell, because this spirit that we have dwelling within us. In verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so it's pretty easy to figure out who loves you and who don't, right? I can tell sometimes just by being around somebody if they truly love me or not. We're taught to love the world. You know, I say this quite often. I'm taught as the pastor that I'm to love the world. And I try to do that. And in loving the world, now every now and then I run up on somebody I don't like. But I'm required to love them. So y'all are blessed. Every one of you blessed in that fact. Going back over 2 Chronicles, verse 14. It shouts, y'all, humble themselves. It's not hard for me to be humble, knowing that God's put something inside me that protects me and keeps me from the wiles of the devil each and every day. I've got it. Amen. There's no doubt. And then it said, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, he's putting some emphasis on this. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And then what did he promise? If we'll do this, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. You think the nation's in a problem? You think our nation's got turmoil and trouble all around? It said if we'll seek the face of God and turn from our wicked ways, it said he'll heal our land. Amen. We could lay one on the politicians this morning by simply just seeking the face of God and turning from our wicked ways. He said he'd heal our land. If he heals the land, they're going to be some of the politicians have to be healed in a way, right? And so we could give some heat on them this morning by doing what God has called us to this place to do, and that's to worship and praise him. Verse 15, I love it. It said, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto prayer that is made in this place. There's not anything going to go on here that God's not knowledgeable of, and God don't see and God don't know. I don't believe we're doing this thing in the corner this morning that it's kept from God. God's looking down now, I believe. He's saying, well, here they are. They're over at the church. They're worshiping. They're praising. They're seeking my face. They're turning from their wicked way. I'm going to heal their land. We've got such great opportunities with this. When I think about it, mine eyes are open. He's open. He's seeing what's taking place. He's seeing what's going on at this service today. He knows what will happen here tonight, next week, and a month from now if God sees fit to carry it that far. He says he'll see. He'll see. I want you to think about also pray and turn from their wicked ways. I want you to think about wicked ways just a minute. You know, there's a way which seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. You know, might seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we have to know and understand in this knowing, and when I get thinking about turning from our wicked ways, I believe one of the things that affect us most, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 8. Turn over there with me just a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 and starting verse 9. One of the things that affects us most is what's going on around us. What we put in our minds, what we put in our bodies, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears. If all you hear is ungodliness, if all you're hearing is things of the world and what they're saying, right, then we've got a problem. Because God warns us about this. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9, it said, now it's coming down to this, it's talking about the people of other lands and Assyria and several other places. But in verse 9 it said, associate yourself, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Now, did y'all get this about girding yourself, girding yourself? We're supposed to be clothed by God. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's where we're supposed to be clothed. It's telling me, it said, if you gird yourself, you're going to be broken. Amen? In other words, if you're taking care of your own salvation, you've got a bad day coming. And verse 10, it said, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. And so he's warning us about participating in things of the world. We're to be a peculiar people called out from an ungodly world. And so you think about it, what one of our greatest things to overcome is what we'd hear on TV and on radios and on computer and all this about the ungodliness of this world. They might not like me in Chicago. They elected the first openly gay black woman for mayor. Elected by popular vote, so we know where Chicago's at. Amen? You know, and it don't bother me. I don't plan to go up there. If I do, I'm going to bypass it. Not even going through the city. But what he's talking about is when we separate ourselves, when we turn from our wicked ways, to turn from our wicked ways, we have to do things that's not right with the world. In other words, what the world does is not us. We have to do things different. In verse 11 it said, for the Lord spake thus with me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, "What? Don't walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to them whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid." God said, don't join up with them. I'm telling you, this is not my home. This is not my world. I've got one to come. Now, I have to make the best I can do here, but I don't have to join myself to it. Just because they do it don't mean I agree with it. And I'm going to tell you, if it's not according to the Word of God, I don't agree with it. And that's just where I stand this day and time. And so we have all these illustrations. We have all these things and all this stuff. And you just think about the opportunity we have, if my people. Now we come down to a point, if my people, which are called by my name. Everybody needs to have a soul searching here this morning, and you need to decide whose people you are. If you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. A lot of people say, well, I don't have to be a child of the devil, I'm not a God. Well, it don't give but two situations. You know, that's the only power present on earth is the presence and power of God through the Holy Ghost and the power that he allows Satan to have. So you one or the other. One or the other. Let's look over in New Testament just a minute. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. When you start soul searching and deciding who you are you a child of God or not? You know, you either are or you're not. There's not a part way. There's not halfway. There's not partial. Either you're a child of God or you're not. You know, I've got two kids and they're either mine or they're not. They can't have two parents, you know. And same as you, as a child of God, you can't have two parents. You can't have God as a parent and the world as a parent. There has to be a choice made. And so we look to people that's got a problem. I'll warn you this morning, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you've got a problem already. You know, it says you're not going to be condemned, but are already condemned because you have not believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not something going to happen down the future. It's already here. You're not a believer, you got a problem. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." I like this thought. Here's the blind men sitting there. They've got a problem. They realize what their problem is. They're blind. They can't see. And so when they hear Jesus comes near, they begin to cry out. They begin to call on Jesus. Help us. Have mercy upon us. And I thought, what an opportunity we got today. Jesus is here. You know, He's present with us through the Holy Spirit. And if you'd cry out, He'd have mercy on you the same as He did these blind men. The blind men were willing to admit, we've got a problem. We've got trouble. And when you come to the point in life that you decide that, oh, I don't know that I'm saved, then you've got a problem and you need to admit it. I can't admit it for you. I can't call and tell you what your mind or heart is, but God will reveal it to you. Without Jesus, you got a problem. These blind men had a problem. They began to cry out. In verse 31, and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." You know, there's always some resistance in it. The time you'd cry out to Jesus, there's somebody going to resist it. You're going to worry about what your neighbor over there is going to think or what this road is going to think. I wouldn't worry about anything. I wouldn't worry about nothing. If I had a need, if I had a problem, I'd call on Jesus. I'd cry out. I don't know how loud these guys cried out, but it's loud enough the multitudes heard them, and it was loud enough Jesus heard them. Y'all got that? Jesus heard their cry, even all the multitude. In verse 32, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Every time I think about this, it just gives me the glory all over. Thinking about this, it said, Jesus stood still. I remember the day I saved. When I called on Jesus, I believe He stood still and listened to me. The day you were saved, I believe Jesus stood still. Maybe just stopped dead in His tracks and said, I need to hear this confession. And the day I was saved, I believe He stood still with me right there in that potato field. Miss White's, over at Miss White's farm, property we had rented. And He stood still. And I thought about the attention that He gave to these blind men. Why? Because they had a problem. Why? Because they cried out. That's what God would require of you today, to admit, I've got a problem, and then cry out to Jesus. "What shall I do unto you?" And they said unto him, "That our eyes may be open." That was their problem. It's blind. Your problem may be locked in sin. I don't know. Blind to the need. I don't know. Verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Touched their eyes, had a touch from Jesus. He stood still. He got a touch from Jesus, and immediately their eyes received sight. That's how fast you can be saved here today. Confessing first, I've got a problem. I'm living in sin. I've got a terrible problem. I'm on the way to hell. Crying out to Jesus. And He'll be here. I believe He'll stand still with you wherever you might gather in this church if you wanted to pray. I believe Jesus will stand right there with you. And just as immediate as their sight was received, you can be saved by the grace of God. And notice, and it said, then they followed Him. I believe you need to do that once you're saved. Let's have a verse of song. Glenda or whoever.